Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. May you experience more hope today, the hope available in our Lord Jesus, and the hope of beginning to resist the worldwide pandemic that has afflicted us all. We use an affirmation of our faith that also helps us, reminds us of what it is that we do believe. And this one from Philippians, there are some 20 affirmations of faith we find in God's Word, usable for worship. This one from Philippians in the second chapter, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The reading of God's Word for today is, again, from Matthew's Gospel in the 18th chapter, the first five verses. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child, had him stand among them, and Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven and what Jesus tells us about the kingdom of heaven. And why have we been doing that? Because it's the first thing Jesus says after Jesus' baptism and after Jesus' temptation by the devil. Matthew 4:17, "Repent," Jesus said, "for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Matthew uses the term kingdom of heaven more times than any other book in the Bible. So I'm strongly suggesting that you and I want to pay attention to Jesus' words, especially in Matthew's book, and find out what Jesus is talking about. And we have discovered in the last month that Jesus isn't talking about our future when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is talking about now. Rewards are in the future after the judgment day, and we will notice that again today. But Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven now. You get to choose. You decide. And Jesus outlines that today in our Bible reading for today. The kingdom of heaven isn't a place. It's a lifestyle. The kingdom of heaven is a way of life, a way of life in Jesus. The early Christians of Jesus' generation were known as the people of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way." In Matthew's Gospel book, in the same chapter we read, "The kingdom of heaven has come near," Jesus says, "Follow me." Jesus invites the disciples in the way of Jesus. Follow me this way. The way of Jesus is not in the future. It is now. So in our reading today, the disciples have a question for Jesus. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Notice again, this is present tense, not who will be the greatest. The question is, who is the greatest? Although Jesus is asked this question by the disciples, Jesus takes the question as an opportunity to teach anyone and everyone else who is there. Disciples is a broader term than the 12. Or we can ask how many disciples were present there at that moment, and the Bible doesn't tell us. But Jesus puts a child in the middle of the group, so there are women and children present. When Matthew, whom we claim was present that day, when Matthew needs to show Jesus giving special instructions, Matthew will say so, as in chapter 10, where Matthew says, Jesus called the 12 disciples and said. Besides, Jesus is going to give kingdom instructions for any and all who want to enter the kingdom, not just the 12. So for any and all who want to enter the kingdom, Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice, please, right away, Jesus states that entering the kingdom will require change. Entering the kingdom now requires change now in this life. Just like when Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom is near. Now we need to talk a moment about children in the ancient world. Children in the ancient world are a world away from children today. We today believe in childhood as a separate time of life or becoming an adult. Not in the ancient world. Children were more like simply little adults, but unsocialized, more willful, and ignorant. Adults today tend to help children, which we have been taught is important. But I remember reading about the first pilgrims in America and the first Thanksgiving. Children did not have their own table at the first Thanksgiving. Children waited tables at the first Thanksgiving. The children probably ate last, although there was plenty to eat. Children were servants in the ancient world. We don't have to look too far to see the Roman ways, the ancient Roman ways, of not being particularly, finding children particularly valuable. Abortion did not exist in the ancient world. The Romans simply took unwanted babies to a place outside of town where they would die of exposure. Yes, Jesus' words about love and compassion were very radical in the ancient world. Jesus would even say that God had love and compassion for you. So my point is to get out of our heads this romantic notion we have of childhood. When we look at Jesus' words were, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The question the disciples posed was about status. Who is the greatest? And because they posed the question, it's their attitude that has to change. Unless you change that attitude. You can't be asking about greatness in the kingdom. You need to be more like little children. The question the disciples posed was about status. Who is the greatest? Jesus' answer is a child. A child with no status. Perhaps a child who serves in the household. A child in the ancient world has no entitlements. There are no laws in the ancient world that I am aware of to protect children. When we think of Jesus' dramatic teaching moment that way, the whole idea of becoming a child for the kingdom is rather distressing. To be great in the kingdom requires us to take the lowest rung on the ladder. That is humbling, isn't it? We could look to Jesus himself as an example. Jesus is God, but Jesus doesn't act like it, does he? The Apostle Paul states that Jesus humbled himself, taking the form of a servant. Jesus has the power of God at Jesus' disposal, and yet Jesus never uses that power for himself. Jesus demonstrated this to Satan when Satan suggested that Jesus make bread out of stone because Jesus and Satan knew that Jesus could do that. You and I don't have that problem. We're never tempted that way. Jesus could be tempted that way, and Jesus was tempted that way, to use what abilities he had for himself. Jesus didn't even speak a word at his trial or resist those who spat in his face and abused him. The reason he did not resist was more about fulfilling his mission. You and I have a mission to fulfill. Maybe we should look to Jesus' instructions to the disciples for their mission. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, Jesus said. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. In one of the instructions, Jesus said, "Eat what is offered you when you are on mission." Are you humble enough to do that? When I think of many households today, children are often asked what they might want for dinner, or they are given a choice. In the not-so-ancient world, you ate what was served for dinner, whatever it was. And there wasn't much variety or quantity in the ancient world. I like that old joke of the old man who said he always had plenty to eat growing up, because when he asked at the dinner table for more, his father said, "Well, no, you've had plenty." Now, I am not, and Jesus certainly is not supportive of this ancient way of viewing children. It isn't clear that Jesus worked for social reform, but why would Jesus work for social reform? Or I could say, why wouldn't Jesus work for social reform? And the shorter answer is, first things first, faith, faith in God, relationship with God. So I'm not suggesting we go back to treating children like little adults. I'm trying to give you the backstory on Jesus' dramatic statement. Social reform will come later, and health care provided by Jesus' followers who build hospitals and put wings in the hospital just for children. Just because Jesus didn't push for social reform doesn't mean we should do in Rome what the Romans do. We are changed in Jesus. We are walking the Jesus way. What Jesus is saying is it's easier for a child to enter the kingdom, easier for them than for adults who clamor and work for status in this life. Americans have always been about status, wealth, and privilege. Well, those are not the kingdom way. Those are not the way of Jesus. Instead of telling people you're on a mission from God and therefore deserve the best accommodations and the best meals served, that isn't the kingdom way. Remember, Jesus said that the Pharisees loved their privileges and status? Those don't cut it in the kingdom. I know I'm on dangerous ground here because Americans enjoy the fact that they have privileges and many preferences. And they like to state and share their preferences, and they like to indulge their privileges and preferences. It appears to me that Jesus is pushing the gratitude button here. Instead of grumbling at a humble dinner for the missionaries, Jesus wants missionaries to be grateful for what they do have. We don't want to be grateful for our preferences and our privileges. Years ago, I was taught that instead of church staff having reserved parking near the door, they should park at the end of the parking lot. Let the disabled and guests park near the door. Pastor and staff might consider gratitude for having a car and having a job at the church. Jesus is teaching us to be grateful for what is given us by God, the loving Heavenly Father, or by the person who supports the mission by taking you in and feeding you, even if the meal itself is humble. The child for Jesus in that moment so long ago is an example of dependency, dependency on the adults. Remember what Jesus also said, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? A child in the ancient world may have had no entitlements, but a child in the ancient world will ask the adult. And Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." See how asking God brings receiving, opening, and answering. Also see how asking God for privileges and status are not kingdom requests. But we learn here that we need not fear about being children of the Heavenly Father in the kingdom, because we may ask, we may knock, and we may seek. Unlike the old man's father I mentioned, whose father refused more supper to his son, the Heavenly Father is generous, compassionate, loving. The Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts. Sometimes I like to remind myself of things that Jesus never said. To do so can be helpful. For example, Jesus never said, "I'm going to do this on my own," or "I can do this on my own." Jesus always turned to the Heavenly Father. Jesus, we are shown, praying. The gospel record shows us Jesus praying before eating, before calling the 12, before being arrested to be abused and killed. Jesus didn't argue with Satan. Jesus quoted his Heavenly Father's words. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The Heavenly Father gives life. The Heavenly Father came to us in Jesus. The Apostle Paul will say, "He humbled himself and took the form of a servant." Jesus tells us that we can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, that the kingdom of heaven is open to you and me. And Jesus tells us things to do so we can be in the kingdom and be of the kingdom. "But I tell you," Jesus said, "love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And today we read that Jesus said, "Unless you change, become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jesus prayed an interesting prayer, and of interest, we find it also in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 11. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." Again, we see the disciples of Jesus, the same as little children. The King James Version uses the word babes, as in babies. "You've revealed this to babes." Other versions use the word infants. One version states, "revealed it to ordinary folks." That version, I think, misses Jesus' point. The little ones are meek, humble, and have little or no power. Any church that has a daycare can more easily grasp Jesus' meaning to Jesus' words. And Jesus concluded his prayer saying, "You revealed them to little children, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Here, too, we are called to be humble in what is revealed to us, in what we know. The Apostle Paul said that knowledge, like wealth, can puff us up. We begin to think highly of ourselves. We think ourselves clever or smart or cagey, street smart, wise in the ways of the world, we even say that. Well, that makes it difficult for people, even you and I, makes it hard for us to hear God, who consider ourselves so smart, of a status of high intelligence. Remember, I told you in my college days, having conversations with my fellow taxi cab drivers in the days before Uber, my coworkers couldn't make sense of Jesus' words. They thought Jesus' words noble and ideal, but couldn't make sense of Jesus' words for daily living. They felt they needed to watch their own backs. They needed to move at every opportunity for more privilege or status, to watch out for themselves and take while the getting is good. Children don't think that way. And I'm sure that my coworkers, when they were children, did not think that way. Jesus said that kingdom people think more like children, dependent on parents, in this case, the Heavenly Father. The old rabbis had a saying when asked why someone had trouble hearing God's answer to their prayers. The old rabbi told the man he was not able to get his ear close enough to the ground to hear God speak. Being on the ground being the position for prayer. The man could not humble himself enough to hear God. Remember, the prophet Elijah only heard or saw God in a still, small voice. 1 Kings 19. I would state the obvious. Children's ears are already closer to the ground than ours. Closer to the ground already to hear God's instruction. So I must ask you, can you get low enough to hear our Lord? Can you be humble enough to enter the kingdom? Can you be humble enough to enter the kingdom? Will you trust your Heavenly Father? Amen.